Today's text is a wonderful example of a really good choice for the little game that I like to call Who's Who. Not all Bible stories lend themselves to this game. Some are okay at it, and some are particularly great. Parables, for example, tend to be really good for Who's Who. So let me give you a little explanation of my little game. If we were to take the parable of the sower and the seeds, I suspect most of you know it fairly well. Jesus talks to some people and he explains, a sower goes out and sows seeds. Some fall on the path and the birds eat them. Some fall on rocky ground and they grow quickly but then wither in the sun. Some fall among thorns and are choked out, and others fall on good soil and reap generously. So then, you ask, who's who? Is God the sower? Who am I? Am I one of the types of soil? Am I good soil? Am I thorns? And then one of the most telling questions I think that we can ask, who do I want to be? Who do I not want to be in the story? So that's what I call Who's Who. Now, because I've just put the parable of the sower and the seeds in your head, I'm going to do a quick little recap of our gospel reading for today. We find ourselves located today in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has very shortly beforehand cured the centurion's slave without even seeing him, and raised a woman's son from the dead because he had pity on her. Our story begins today with the words, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into that Pharisee's house. We aren't told why that Pharisee asked Jesus, and I'm a little curious about that. Most of the Pharisees weren't really on Jesus' number one fan list. Was this man an exception to that? Might he have been testing Jesus in some way? Of course, I don't have an answer, but I'm curious nonetheless. Either way, at some point in the meal, possibly earlier than later, a woman shows up. She's not invited. She just seems to walk into the house of her own accord, and she makes herself comfortable. She weeps at Jesus' feet. She washes his feet with her tears, and she wipes them with her hair. She kisses his feet and anoints them. Now, if you think that this is either normal or socially acceptable behavior, then you are wrong. It's not. So I wonder if we can blame the Pharisee for wondering what the heck is going on. Jesus reads the Pharisee's mind somehow and offers a little parable. Who is more grateful to have their debt forgiven? The one with the larger debt or the smaller debt? Well, Simon, the Pharisee answers, the one who had the greater debt, I suppose. Yes, Jesus says. And Jesus explains all the ways in which this woman has shown him love and how she has been forgiven. I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Bit of a smack in the face for our friend Simon the Pharisee. So, I feel like this story is just kind of begging for a little game of who's who. Let's start with saying we will allow Jesus to play Jesus. And that leaves two main characters, the Pharisee and the woman. Which one are you? Are you the Pharisee who has invited Jesus to dinner? Or are you the uninvited woman who shows great love? Let me share a quick little story. As many of you know, last weekend we traveled up north for a family funeral. At one point, there were several people sitting around a large table, and somehow, I can't tell you how, the topic of stubbornness came up. I have to admit, my attention was divided by the children and kinds of other stuff, but then someone said to me, "Joanna, are you stubborn?" And my response of, "Oh, absolutely," seemed to surprise them. Well, I quickly realized that I had been the first person at the table to admit that I am, without question, stubborn. Which is interesting, because they were all my family members sitting around the table, and I know them fairly well. I wouldn't say that I was necessarily the only stubborn person around the table, but okay. It leads me to think, why does it seem like such a part of our human condition to not want to admit what you are? Of course, I did suggest very soon thereafter that stubbornness has a bad connotation, but that it isn't really a negative trait. So check mark for me, I admitted to everyone that I'm stubborn, and then I qualified it, so that takes me back down a notch, but that's okay. And that makes me think about this. Who in this story do you not want to be? The Pharisee or the woman? I don't want to be the Pharisee, because Pharisees are always wrong for all the right reasons. You see, like us, Pharisees, they're religious folks. They followed the laws. They did the right thing. They were good people, basically. And Jesus often nailed these guys for thinking they were better than everyone else. Because pride, it's sinful. It separates us from God. And I think most importantly, pride separates us from one another. Which is precisely the reason why judgment is God's job, not our job. And so I feel like there's a slippery slope here, comparing ourselves to the Pharisee. On one hand, we are good church folk, after all. I mean, I'd like to believe that I would invite Jesus to dinner. And also, I mean, I probably don't have as much need of forgiveness as others, right? I mean, I make mistakes, but I don't do really bad things like other people do. Not like the woman would have been known for. Yeah, in my game of who's who, I think I'd rather be the woman. She knows what she's done. She recognizes the grace extended to her by Jesus. She shows unreserved humility as she sits and washes his feet. Yes, that's it. I want to be the woman. So then the question, who are we really? Well, in an unexpected twist, I think we're both. I think that we often demonstrate the pride and the judgment and the false sense of security of the Pharisee. And at other times, we fall to our knees and we acknowledge our sinful nature, that of our humanity. And we ask God for grace and forgiveness and for healing and for wholeness. Because in the end, both of these people need grace. And that's us, all the time. We are the Pharisee when we say we believe in grace, that God has redeemed the whole world through grace, but then we think we don't need it quite as much as others. Or when we say that grace is extended to those who believe the right thing, or say the right thing, or look the right way, or who are the right sexual orientation, or who hold the correct political beliefs. Or. We say we believe in grace, and then we empty grace of its power by trying to limit it. And when we do that, we sound an awful lot like our friend Simon the Pharisee. And then, we are the woman. When we open our eyes and we see our grievous mistakes, the ways in which we have hurt others, the ways in which we hurt relationships and have failed to try to repair them, the ways in which we hurt God's world and creation. We are the woman when we receive God's grace and are so moved by it that we turn around and extend it to another. It's rare in the game of who's who for there to be only one answer. There are often several possibilities, some more fitting than others, some perhaps more comfortable or less comfortable than others. But the one thing that is always true is that we are never the perfect character. We never get to be God. We don't ever get to decide who is worthy, who is good enough, or who should or shouldn't be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Thankfully, in the game of who's who, Jesus is always Jesus. And grace is always extended. Jesus says to Simon, "I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love." I hope that Jesus can say that about me. And I hope so for you too. Amen.